We have to have our priorities in order. So this morning, we're going to continue with part three of priorities. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to read two verses. We're going to read verses 31 and 33. Say amen when you have it. Amen. Come on. And I want to welcome any of our first-time guests. I want to welcome you to Victory Outreach Tacoma. Or if you've been here just a few times, I want to thank you for coming on back and worshiping with us. It's good to see you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. The Bible says, therefore, do not worry. Look at the person next to you and say, do not worry. Saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you need, and he knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. I ask that you would go before me, level every mountain. Help me to communicate the word the way that you gave it to me. I pray that you would speak to someone directly to their heart. And I ask that you would help us to get our priorities in order. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. So this morning, again, we're going to go ahead and continue with our sermon series. And, you know, as I was praying, you know, God has really been speaking to me about this year. And a lot of my prayers have been, God, what do you want to do in 2016? And, you know, we have been fasting for the last 20 days, and I swear to you, it seems like 6 months. Hello. I ain't going to lie. I looked at my wife. I said, I'm tired of this fast. I'm going to eat. And she gave me this look like, no, you ain't. I said, you're right, I'm not. She said, baby, you got 3 more days. The fast ends on Wednesday. I was like, what? Come on, somebody. I like food. Hello. How many like food? Amen. Back to what I was saying. As I've been fasting and as I've been really praying and seeking God's will, not only for my life, but for the direction of the church, God has been ministering to me about stepping out in faith and learning to calm my anxieties with my belief in what he's able to do. And I believe that in 2016, we're going to see a move of God within our church. I honestly believe that we are going to pack out the house, and we're going to get to a place where we're probably going to have to go into double services. So my eyes are already looking at purchasing 50 more chairs. I'm already preparing my mindset for what God wants to do, because how many know that the greater the task, the more commitment is required? And there are some of you, as I watch your life and I see what God's doing in your life, there are many of you, you're at a crossroad where God is asking more of you. Some of you, you're ready to jump in and give God more. For others, there's a spiritual battle to where you want to go forward, but there is a fear in what it will require. And this morning, what I want to do is I want you to examine your heart this morning. And ask yourself, what are my priorities? What are my spiritual priorities? And I ask you to ask that specific question, because when you look at what a priority is, priorities are not the things that you say are important. Priorities is what you do in your everyday habits. Because the definition of a priority is something that is considered most important. And I say this because there are a lot of people that will say things like, God is my priority, but their life lives a different lifestyle. There are a lot of people that will say, my family is my priority, but they don't spend time with their family. There are people that will say things like, my priority is to lose weight, but they're eating cheeseburgers at night. Come on, somebody. Hello. You ain't gonna cut pounds. Come on, somebody. No, I don't care. I don't care if you took out the lettuce, you put all the ketchup and everything else. Hello. Supersize the fries. Whatever your priority is, you have to live a lifestyle that supports your ambition. So if your priority is to lose weight, you got to live a lifestyle that will support that ambition. If your priority is to become a pastor one day, you have to live different. You have to commit yourself to reading the Word of God and constantly reevaluating your heart to ensure that you are doing what God wants you to do. See, I believe that God wants to display miracles this year. I believe God wants to raise up women and men leaders. I believe that there are ministries that are going to be created out of the result of your passion to reach people. I believe with all my heart that some of you this year will hear clearly what God wants you to do for the rest of your life. But in order to fulfill the call of God for your life, and you got to know that God has something special for you to do. When He created you, He created you with a purpose. There is a reason why you exist. And it's sad to say we're living in a day where most people live day to day. They wake up in the morning, they go to work, and they go at night, and they are in this vicious routine of purposelessness. They don't do anything. They're not shooting for anything. But this morning, I ask you, draw a line in the sand. Look up to the heavens. Set some lofty goals because you serve a big God. Anything you want to do, if your heart is in the right place, God will come through for you. Great things happen when people make God their priority. Great things happen when people make God's agenda their agenda. For some of you, the call of God is simply contingent upon you throwing your agenda away and saying, God, I'll follow your agenda. See, this morning I want to speak to you about what happens when people truly decide to make God their main priority. And when you look at the scripture that we read, Jesus was speaking to a large crowd of people. And He's preaching, you know, what they call the Sermon on the Mount of Olives. And He deals with a number of issues. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, He addresses one of the most common questions everybody asks. He answers the question of, how am I going to meet my needs? Will I have food to eat tomorrow? Will I have clothing for tomorrow? He begins to address this question to all the people that were present. Because at that time, people were dependent upon their work. They were not focused or putting their faith in God. So as Jesus addresses this specific question, He begins to say, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you'll wear. Don't worry about what you'll drink. And then He says this specific phrase, for all the pagans seek after these things. Now, that's pretty important because when you look at what it means to seek means to inquire of or to seek out as to find. So if pagans are seeking things, tangible, material things, then their focus isn't on God. And I think this is relevant and important to where we are in life because we're living in a very materialistic society. We are living in a day and age where a lot of people throw the call of God away for the sake of pursuing a career. We're living in a day and age where people spend money and they really don't think about what God wants to do with that money. Now don't get, come on, I'm not going to ask you for money, so don't get silent on me. Come on, somebody. Some of you are like, oh, don't talk about me. Come on. But I think this is very important to discuss because if we're talking about getting our priorities in order, truth be told, there are a lot of believers, Bible-fearing Christians, believers, followers of Jesus who struggle behind the scenes when it comes to money. There are some people that you cannot move forward in the call of God because you're bound to debt. And we see this because, and I talked about it on Wednesday, if you weren't here Wednesday, I encourage you, go to the podcast, listen to that message. But I talked about the struggle in everyday life. And it's evident within the story of the rich young ruler. Because here you had a man who wanted to do great things for God. And he comes to Jesus. He said, Jesus, what must I do? And Jesus says, obey the commandments, obey your parents. And he says, all those things I have done. Jesus looks straight at him, cuts right to the chase, looks at his heart and says, sell everything you have, give to the poor and follow me. All of a sudden, that zeal, God, what must I do? The Bible says that he walked away, but he didn't stay long enough to hear Jesus' word. Search it for yourself. The Bible says this, that those who sell everything and deny themselves to follow God, watch this, he will not only reap in this world, but in the age to come, meaning he will gain his reward in heaven. See, our job as believers is not to seek after things, but to seek after God. If we were to switch our focus and inquire of God, inquire to know of God and who he is and what he wants to do, there would be a world of a difference in what we could accomplish. Well, you might ask, well, Pastor, what does it mean to focus or seek out the kingdom of God? Well, that can be answered in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, because this is what it says. The time is time has come to be fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So to seek the kingdom of God is simply to live a lifestyle of repentance and to believe in the gospel. In other words, it's to believe in the teachings of Jesus to the point where you're willing to change. Because there are some people, they believe in Jesus, they believe in the gospel, but they won't change. They live a lifestyle of what people say called sin. They come to church and they're faithful, but they're still messing with them pain pills. My back hurts. My back hurts too. Come on, somebody. But I'm talking about living a lifestyle that pursues God. Living a lifestyle where it's black and white, no gray. Because we're living in a day and age where people like to water down the gospel. I made a promise to you when we took over the church that we would preach the uncut word of God. Some of the things that we say behind this pulpit might not feel good, but the gospel was never meant to make you feel good. It was meant to cut through every thought, to cut through every marrow, to cut through every false motive so that we can take our worldly mentality, throw it away, and seek after God. This is an important truth to understand because the Bible tells us that if we put God first, listen to me, all things will be added to us. Now, what were these things? If you study this scripture in its context, did you know what Jesus was talking about was tangible material things? The Bible says that if we put him first, he will meet all of our needs. And you got to know this. God doesn't desire for us to struggle. God doesn't desire for us to be in want. If anything, he wants us to be blessed. He wants us to shoot for the stars and try things we've never tried before because we serve a big God. God likes to show off. God likes to show you things. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but I mean, I got two boys. I like to show off. Come on, somebody. Right? I'm their hero. Daddy, can you buy me this? No. Do you have money? No, but you do. Come on, somebody. They know that as a result of my relationship with them, they have access to whatever I have. And they know that if they act right, they got something coming. But the other one knows that if they don't act right, come on, somebody, they're not getting anything. I bring this up because there are a lot of believers that they live a lifestyle full of worry and anxiety. There are so many people that are so consumed with how am I going to meet my needs, they go to great lengths to meet those needs. Now listen, if you're a father, you have a responsibility to provide for your children. Okay? But what I'm saying is, don't get so caught up in your anxieties or your worry that you take your focus off of God. Because God can provide all for all your needs according to his riches and his glory. The problem that we have today is you have a lot of believers who take their eyes off of God to build their own house. I would dare say that there are a lot of rich young rulers in the church today And the call of God is going out. For some of you, listen, some of you at some point, you're going to be called to quit your job and go full-time ministry. Someday, God might pull your number. The question at that point will be, am I willing to sacrifice, believe in God for all of my needs so that I can do His will? This is not something that you hear much about anymore. It's all about prosperity and I don't believe, listen to me, if you struggle with finances, giving is a way out. I don't believe that. Some preachers will tell you that. Give and God will get you through. I don't necessarily believe that. I believe you can give all you want, and God's not necessarily going to get you out of debt. Because giving doesn't get you out of debt. Discipline gets you out of debt. The right habits. You got to know that debt is a result of bad behavioral habits. Some of you, until you change your behaviors with how you spend money, God can't give you more. Because He says, you know what, you tithe, but God, I tithe. I give my 10% to the church. Yeah, but we squander the 90. And 10% shouldn't be a minimum of what we give. It should be the beginning. Understand this. Listen to me. I say this because some of you, in order to get your financial priorities in order, you're going to have to change your mentality on how you see finances. It's not all yours. Understand, God gives you the ability to create wealth. God wants to bless you. He simply wants you to put into practice the financial principles of the Bible. You follow me? Some of you with me? You mad at me? Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, if you catch this and you truly say, God, I'm going to allow you to work in every area of my life, including finances, you will be a blessed person. You will have more than enough to not only meet the needs of your family, you'll get nice shiny shoes. Come on, somebody. You might even drive a nice car. Hello. You might have enough extra to buy yourself 2 suits and someone else 3. I fear because when I look into the future, the reality is, in order to preach the gospel and go to the four corners of the world, it's going to take finances. In order for us to build a great church where our children are blessed, and listen, I'm not in the building just for the sake of having a nice building, but I want to build a 5-star church to where people walk in, they feel dignified. Like, I gave towards this cause. I put my hands to the plow. I was a part. I remember. Some of us one day we're going to talk about. I remember when I was off 75th and Custer. I remember when the floor didn't have carpet. I remember. Come on, some of you know what I'm talking about. There was 2 holes right there in the back. We covered it with cardboard. Come on, somebody. Some of you remembered we had a stage. None of this was here. It was just plywood. And every time I would walk, you hear clunk, clunk. Come on, somebody. Some of you remember that. And some of us one day, we're going to talk about what God has done. Some of you right now, you might not have a house, but one day you're going to be talking about how you own a house. Come on, somebody. And because you learned the principles of the Bible, and in 2016, you not only got your priorities in order to seek God first, you said, I'm going to give God the best of what I have. I'm going to make sure that my financial priorities in order. You are now a blessed person. See, some of you have great aspirations to have a business. Why not? Why not you? Why couldn't God raise us up? The Bible says He wants us to be the head and not the tail. The Bible says that He desires for us to lend and never have to borrow. Why not? Why couldn't you have so much that you could bless somebody and not even worry about them paying you back? The question becomes, can we have that type of a generosity? Talking about changing the way we see finances. When I look at the struggle of the world and what believers, the Christian of today, are up against, one of their biggest battles can be found and kind of described in Haggai chapter 1, verse 3 and 9. I want to read it to you. It says this. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains in ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put clothes on, but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in purses and holes in it. This is why the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains, bring down timber, and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expect much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord? Because my house, which remains in ruin, while each of you are busy with your own houses. Someone say amen or oh my. Now, I'm not putting a jacket on everyone in the church. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm talking about, this is the struggle of the 21st century. If you're living in this day and age, I guarantee you, if you make a commitment to go after and pursue the things of God, one of the battles and hurdles you will have to overcome is learning to say no to every good opportunity. See, there are some people, they see a good opportunity and they're just like, great. Don't even think about it. Don't even ask God. It seems good. It's going to benefit me. It's going to give me more. Therefore, let me jump in. Let me take the second job. Before you know it, you're missing church. Before you know it, you buy a car that now you can't really afford, so now you got to work extra to pay that car. We're living in a day and age where people tend to focus on things. But listen to me. The worries of money can cause people to take their eyes off God. The love of things can cause people to shift their focus on self-gratification because it feels good when you have nice things. But having nice things will not give you fulfillment. Philippians 4:19 says this, and my God will meet all your needs according to his riches and his glory in Christ Jesus. Like I said, God never intended for you to struggle. God never intended for you to have to be in want. He simply desires for you to put him first in your life. See, I only feel right talking to you this as your pastor because I believe that God wants to loosen and give some of you financial peace where you go to bed at night and you're not worried about paying the bill. I believe that God wants to shift our focus on how we see finances so we can become a channel of blessing. But we can't be a channel of blessing if the finances come and it stops there. And I talk about setting financial priorities in order because Mark 14:4-19 tells us something very interesting. Follow me. The Bible says this, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. That's some heavy stuff. That is some very insightful, if you apply it right. Because in other words, what this scripture is saying, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of this life, and the desire for things come in to choke out God's word and make us unfruitful, meaning ineffective. There are some believers, because of their worry, they are ineffective. They can't see tomorrow. They can't see the future because they're so bogged down with the anxiety and the worry that's in front of them. God has called us to be people of vision. We need to be people that look far beyond. Some of you guys, you got to understand, you're going through it right now, but God's saying, go through this process. Go through this pain. Learn to endure, because though weeping may come for a night, joy will come in the morning. I know you're going through tough times right now. You press in. You seek me first and see that I will not throw open the... See that I will not bless you. See that I will not give you all that is in your heart. Sometimes God just wants to see if he's really first in our lives. And sometimes he'll test that by taking away what we love most. Come on, somebody. Are you with me? Come on, somebody. In order to experience the blessings of God, we will need to have our financial priorities in order. Because you are sons and daughters of God, you have access to all that he owns. But like the story I told, like my son, if my son doesn't know how to take care of three toys, why am I going to buy him three more? Right? parents kind of wave at me, you know what I'm talking about? You give them a toy, and then they have a thrill for a couple hours, and then I'm like, I just bought that. Why is it in the garage? Come on, somebody. But they want more. And every now and then, spiritually, we can be like that. We want more, but we don't take care of what we have. See, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty. See, our job is not to worry. Our job is to put God first. And in doing so, the Bible promises he will meet our needs. Now, one of the promises that you have by being a son and daughter of God is that God will bless you. God will bless you. The question remains at that point, will you honor him with the blessing he gave you in the first place? Parents understand this sometimes when you have little children, that sometimes you'll buy them something to eat, right? Whether you buy them some Starburst, come on, somebody. Your kid is grateful. Daddy, daddy, I love you. They give you a kiss. You give them the, you know, you give them. And, you know, you're like, weren't thinking about having a Starburst, but now you want a Starburst. So you're like, hey, baby, can I have a Starburst? No. What happened to daddy? I love you. Yeah, but daddy, but this is not yours. Yeah. I bought you two packs. You ain't trying to give me one. No. But no, no, give me some. No, it's mine. Now you're going to cop attitude. First, he just said no. I was like, I was almost okay with that because I thought it was kind of cute. But now you're going to cop an attitude with me. If I had not bought that for you, you would have had it. Give me a star. You know what? Give me the whole pack. Fits. Ah, daddy, it's mine. Ah, I hate you, daddy. Sometimes it's like that with God. God blesses us, and God says, I want you to sow seed. I want you to bless so-and-so. And you're like, no. Do you know how long I've worked for this? God is saying, I gave it to you. I gave that to you. How dare you ask me that? Give it all. Little did we know that God had everything and an endless supply. But if we understood the principles of his word, we would willingly give it because we know that the one who gave it to us has plenty more. He got flavors. Listen to me. God got flavors you ain't never tasted before. Come on, somebody. God got blessings you won't even understand. Sometimes God will just give you stuff because, come on, somebody, because you did something in secret that nobody's seen. The question becomes, are we going to be a people that are sensitive to meeting the needs of those that are on the streets? Listen, I want to build a generous church where you know how to meet needs. Needs. Because people have needs. Now listen to me. Be careful with this because we got some people that they know how to milk the system. Hello. They'll play off your generosity. Daddy didn't raise no fool. Come on, somebody. If you ask, I know who I'm dealing with. Hello. Come on, look at me like that. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Get me once. All right. Shame on you. Get me twice. Shame on me. Hello. But I'm talking about meeting needs of people. I can't tell you how many times I walk by people and God wants me to give them encouragement. And I'm not talking just necessarily about finances. Don't be stingy with your praise. Sometimes people just need an encouraging word. And we're so stingy with our praise, I don't want them to get puffed up. I don't want them to get prideful. Just give them praise. You don't know what they're going through. But what about people you don't know? Walking at the grocery store, you see somebody with the frown. Hey, I just wanted to say hi. God bless you. You know what? God put in my spirit that, you know what, there's a blessing for you. And I just want to tell you, God bless you. Walk away. See, that's being generous in character because you're willing to give of your praise. Some of you got to stop being stingy with your talent. You got to give of your talent to God because your talent will bring glory to His name. And when you give your talent and bring glory to His name, He will bless you with energy. He will bless you with strength. But sometimes we're like, we got our so tight little schedule. We don't want to, you know, this is my time for my family. And God says, listen, just give me this time. So-and-so needs to be ministered to. And if you give of your time, I will bless you. Are you hearing me? We have to honor God with our time, with our talent, and our treasure. The Bible says to honor the Lord with your wealth. What does it mean to honor? It means one who brings respect, or the respect that is given to someone that is admired. So the Bible says to honor the Lord with your wealth. Wealth has to do with possessions. In order to honor God with our wealth, we have to understand and live out the principles of the Bible. We have to have an understanding of what the Bible says about wealth. Deuteronomy 8:18 tells you, but remember the Lord your God is who gives you the ability to produce wealth. So if God is the one who gives you the ability to produce wealth, never forget that it was He that blessed you first. And in that, you give Him praise. In that, you give Him glories. You know, this year in 2016, I made it a point that I was going to count every blessing. I kid you not, sometimes we can become so senseless to the things that we have. I wake up, I'm grateful for the pair of shoes I have. They might not be new, but I'm grateful for the pair of shoes that I have. I'm grateful that I got warm clothes. Come on, somebody. I'm grateful that I can give my kids an extra blanket. I'm just grateful. I don't own it. Listen, some of you don't know where I came from. I don't have an education. I got kicked out of school, moved out when I was 14. We didn't have much growing up. I remember Christmases where my parents would grab one little present and wrap it 6 times, and we would do scavenger hunts. That was their way of helping us understand it was fun and it wasn't about the gift. I remember looking at people saying, I wish I had what they had, but I also know what it is to follow God. I know what it is to have more than what I should because I put Him first. And some of you got to start counting your blessings. Stop looking at what you don't have. Start looking at what you do have. You have a family. You have each other. You might not have it right now. Put God first. See what He does in your life. And I say that with passion because if some of you know where I came from, I remember driving a car where I would see everything on the bottom. Come on, somebody. I could see everything. I could see the lines. Hello. The smoke used to come in. Hello. But I served God with joy. I built a youth ministry in that car. We built a youth ministry with 100 plus kids. We used to pack them in. I used to have fun. I didn't have money. Come on, somebody. I remember everyone, let's go out to eat. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go pray. Come on, somebody. I wasn't praying. I was too embarrassed to say I didn't have money. But I'm telling you, God has everything you could ever want. Some of you just have to shift your priorities and put your eyes on God. And I'll be coming to a close. I'm actually going to break this message up into 2 messages. So I'm going to ask you to come on out. I'll actually speak the second half of this message on Wednesday. I think that there's some truths, because what I want to do is give you biblical principles and financial principles that you can live by that are guaranteed to build your life, build your wealth. Know that God wants to give you more. I believe that in the last days, listen, one of our promise scriptures is Victory Outreach. It says, I will give you treasures out of darkness and hidden riches stored in secret places. Now, I know that we like to say that that's, you know, those are the hurting people of society, but that scripture has to do with physical treasure. I believe that God wants to open up the floodgates of heaven and bless us with treasures. We don't know where it's going to come from. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm looking at our men's home. We're already growing. I believe in God. Every time I talk with Brother Chuck, we're talking about 2 men's homes. Hello. Now, in the natural, I'm like, how in the world are we going to do it? Because we don't even have a van. Come on, somebody. The thing done broke on us. Hello. I'm kind of like, how are we going to do it? But you know what? I've come this far by faith, and I'm not going to go back in fear. I'm going to strive. I know we may not have it right now, but I serve a God that owns everything. And I know that some way, somehow, he's going to bring it to pass. I'm believing God for a women's home this year. I'm believing that one of you are going to say, Pastor, I got it in my heart. I want to run the women's home. God pulled me out. I remember, and by faith we're going to do it. Come on, somebody. Can I get some people that say, Pastor, we can do this. Pastor, one day we're going to build it. Pastor, one day we're going to see a fire. Pastor, we're going to do it. Come on. Some of you got to stir it up in the faith. I get excited because you don't know, man, what God did for us when we got here. Some of you know, when we came, we had but a few people, didn't know how we were going to pay the rent. Our first month, I remember, they gave me an eviction notice as a welcome. We took over the church. We didn't know what we were going to do. But the Lord told me, sell your house. Now, you got to understand, I was at the crossroad, and I speak that story about the rich young ruler because I have a career, and listen to me, you got to pray, and I pray that you buy into this vision with us because I'm going to quit my job, and we're going to pursue building this church full time. Now, you talk about fear. You talk about at that point it got real. When I look at the face of my children, and I don't know how, but God spoke to me. He said, Eric, do it. I'll never forget it. We sold our house and we put it on the market. And the Lord told me, Eric, we were coming and traveling for 6 months. 70 miles round trip. And I would come and I was like, man, I don't even live here. But the Lord spoke to me, the minute you move to Tacoma, we're going to double the church. At that time, we had probably about 20 people. And I remember we moved. We sold our house. I put it on the market. Listen to me. Watch God. I put it on the market on Wednesday. We got an above asking price Thursday. Watch this. The house I live in today, some of you see it now and you're like, wow, this is a nice house. You don't know what it looked like and what we had to live with for about 2 months. We were living in sawdust. We were living on plywood. Hello, my kids got bad allergies, all scratched up, talking about, Daddy, I like my house. Come on, somebody. And we were happy. We were happy. I remember I went to go look at that house, and this is what happened. Watch God. We went to look at that house. The very next day, it got took off the market, and I was sad. So what did I do? We went to our house in SeaTac. We fixed it up. We put it on the market, and I remember the Lord spoke to me and said, call the real estate agent of the house that went off the market. And I looked at my wife, and I said, babe, will they listen to me? And she said, normally they don't, but if the Lord told you to call, call. And I called this lady. I said, hey, listen, I know you took the house off the market. Are they still going to sell it? Well, they don't know. They're questioning it now. They want to put some money into it. And I said, hey, listen, would you listen to an offer? We sold our house on Thursday. I met with my real estate agent after talking to the lady. She said, you can put one in. We'll see what happens. We put in an offer Thursday. Friday, the house that was taken off the market was given to me way under cost. I believe with all my heart, listen to me, I believe with all my heart God took that house off the market because he knew we were supposed to live there a few miles away from the church. He knew this was the area where we would build a church, and we didn't have money to fix the house. We didn't know what we were going to do, but God, some way, somehow, because we put him first, I didn't question about my kids' allergies. I didn't question about my fears. I didn't question what it would look like to travel back and forth. God met the need simply because I was willing. And I end with this, Brother Alec, you can go ahead and pray. Some of you got to get to a place where you live by faith. Some of you don't live in faith. You live in fear. God says, I want you to put me first. Put me first in every area of your life. Second Corinthians 8:7 says this, but since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in love, we have kindled in you see that you also excel in the grace of giving. There are some of you, you're so bogged down with worry about what tomorrow holds that you're unable to focus on the now, and it makes you ineffective. Now, I'll tell you this. You can't, look, there's the law of cause and effect. There are some of you, you've made some bad choices, and as a result, you can't get away from the consequence of your actions. You can't escape that. So for some, you're in some tough situations. The good thing is that if you put God first and you actually do it the way He wants you to, He can turn the situation around. But if you're trying to follow God with reservations, God, I want to, but I want to keep this. God says, no, I need you to let that go, and I will provide. See, that's the issue of today. But 1 Timothy 6:17 says this, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to have all that your heart desires, but you can't put your hope in your wealth. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Listen, I feel the power of God here this morning. This is what I want to do this morning. If you're here.